Thank you for choosing to listen to the Recruiters Recruitment Podcast. In a myriad and plethora of other podcast conversations you could be choosing, we are really grateful that you chose to click on our link. And why should you choose to listen to the Recruiters Recruitment Podcast? Well, not least because we have honest, open, insightful conversations with leaders from across the recruitment industry and beyond. We often invite people on who are leaders and experts in markets and sectors that we believe we can all truly learn from. Just a word of thanks to our sponsor, Pager, and to our proud partners, Needy and Inclusion Crowd, and a warm welcome to our new partner, Keybridge IT. More about all of those later on in the show. So without further ado, let's get to know this week's guest. This is Leisha Holmes, and I'm your host of the Recruiters Recruitment Podcast. And you're clicking on this episode today because the guest and the topic has hopefully enticed you in. This is Michelle Flynn, and as well as being a healthy living coach with the mental health and recruitment movement, which I'm a huge, huge supporter of, I've been a champion of it since 2020. She's also a certified health and performance and mindset coach and has been in the recruitment industry as long as I have, actually, since the 1990s. We talk about a plethora of things all relating to mental health and well-being. Where are we at now? Because we don't seem to be talking about it as much as we would. What is the state of our mental health like in recruitment in 2024 and beyond? What can we do to prioritise our own well-being as leaders, but also to ensure that if you're listening as a recruiter, what are the telltale signs that you're at a point where you need interventions? We talk around the benefits of preserving our well-being and what practical actions we can take and what's the one thing you can do today to ensure your strong well-being going forward. You're not going to be disappointed, and I really hope you enjoyed the conversation. We cover a hell of a lot in this episode. So without further ado, let's jump in. We are so proud at the Recruiters Recruitment Podcast to be sponsored by Pager. Pager helps recruiters to build personal brands, to identify new business opportunities, to attract those hard-to-find candidates, and to basically have better conversations. Now, you will have a large network that you want to build credibility with on LinkedIn, and sometimes posting content every day feels impossible. Now, that changes once you have Pager. Pager provides you with the ideas, the content, and the scheduling capability to produce daily content to build out your own personal brand in minutes, and for business development too. Pager identifies companies that are advertising jobs, have key hiring indicators such as funding rounds, mergers, acquisitions, or senior appointments, and then alerts you to this daily. Pager also enables you to write candidate-centric job adverts without bias in seconds. So once you advertise your job, Pager will then automatically create a branded post and publish it to LinkedIn without you even having to lift a finger. So when you want to actively source candidates, you can create complex Boolean strings in seconds. All you need to do is to provide the job title and location. Now, Pager is making thousands and thousands of recruiters smarter and faster. For more information, click on the link pager.co to book your demo, and remember to mention the Recruiters Recruitment Podcast when inquiring. Now, back to the episode. This is Leisha Holmes, and I'm your host on the Recruiters Recruitment Podcast. And I am so excited to welcome to you, our global community today, somebody who I've professionally been stalking, for want of a better expression, basically, for years and years and years. And I know that there's a really gorgeous connection here with basically a whole community of people that I got to know in, particularly in lockdown, through the mental health and recruitment movement, which was started by Rhonda D'Ambrosio, who's been on our podcast, I think, right at the start. And this particular guest is somebody who hopefully will become familiar to all of you with her passion around the subject. But we're going to get to know a little bit about her first. So without further ado, welcome to you today, Michelle. This is Michelle Flynn, and she is a certified health and performance and mindset coach and a healthy living coach for mental health and recruitment. Welcome to you today. How are you?
I'm great. You're so right. I feel like I've celebrated your birthday with you recently. I've celebrated the highs of all of your sort of inspiring stories. So now this is so lovely that we get to actually chat.
I just can't. I mean, before we started recording, I can't believe it's the first time we've actually spoken. But isn't that the power of a LinkedIn and the power of personal brand, right?
Exactly. But do you ever get confused and you think that you've met someone in person
Go
and meet them and try and give them a big
Honestly, joking aside, at the Recruitment Expo in London at the start of 2024, I met with Joe Major and I met with Joe Phillips, both of whom have either been on or are coming on the podcast show. And it was like I knew them. I literally went over, gave them big hugs, and I was like, have we never actually met? Yeah. I love that that's where we're at. And I hope that you listening here now as part of our global community, I hope that that's how you feel about me, and I hope that's how you feel about all of our guests, basically. We want to make this about real people, real situations, and I can't wait to talk about our topic today because it's something that I'm personally and professionally really profoundly, really strongly opinionated on and I'm passionate about. So before we do that, give us a little bit of history as to who you are and I guess why you're here.
Okay, well, the background is I started in recruitment and I fell into it like most people.
Everybody.
Yeah, has anyone ever actually gone, oh yes, I'll go into that degree and then I'll go into recruitment? That wasn't what happened. I graduated, I had a degree in maths and found it quite difficult to get a job. This was in the 90s, so this was before we'd actually caught up with the fact that sort of women can work in science-based jobs. So fell into recruitment, I joined Computer Futures and I loved it. I spent 8.5 years there. I was perm consultant and it suited me down to the ground because I am very, very process driven. So I was able to be doing 7 to 10 deals a month, getting everyone through the process as quickly as possible and making everyone lots of money. I then hit 30, had a bit of a midlife crisis. I thought I'll go traveling, try and find myself. Computer Futures did actually give me a sabbatical, but I didn't go back. I ended up going and joining one of my clients. And they were a technology company, a Microsoft Gold partner, and they brought me in to run recruitment before in-house recruitment had become like a thing.
Wow.
Did that, help them scale rapidly so that they sold to a large American company. I then set up my own recruitment business with the American company as my first client. And then fast forward, loved doing it, but wanted to work with smaller businesses that I could really impact change. So really focused on the tech startup scene in London. Just really knew the community. You're talking there about like global community. And without them, I wouldn't be where I'm at today because they were brilliant. I had all of my clients on exclusive. I had a sort of 100% hit rate because we got the process working. I worked with brands that people wanted to work for, like Moonpig was one of my clients. Like, who doesn't go into an office with flowers and chocolate and like all of the joy? And it was just brilliant. And I had no plans to change any of that. I thought I would be recruiter until the end. And then in my 40s, had a few health bumps. Figured out how to heal myself, sort of similar to kind of listening to your story about how you sort of made your changes. And then decided to study. Again, didn't plan to change from recruitment. But when I became qualified as a health coach, people then started asking for help. And then slowly I was like, oh, I can't do my recruitment so much. So then I pivoted my recruitment business a bit. I would partner with agencies who would do the delivery. And then my coaching got busier and busier. And it was LinkedIn's fault that I made the full change because I thought LinkedIn's really confused. Am I a recruiter or am I a health coach? Because I'm talking about sort of BD, but I'm also talking about how to get more sleep. And one day I just thought, I've got to call this. I've got to make the choice of where I'm at. And coaching was the one that won. And I love it and feel very fortunate to be able to do it. And I mainly work with recruiters. So I still get to sort of keep my toe in and understand what's going on. But with accepting now that that is no longer sort of my main role, it's to support the recruiters.
But it's so holistic how you've reached this point and what a gorgeous journey. And how interesting that we were almost colleagues, because my very first job, I was offered a job at Computer Futures or Primetime and I turned down Futures to go to work at Primetime in the 90s. So we could have been colleagues, Michelle.
Oh my God. Imagine how different our lives could have been.
I do often think that, actually. God, if I'd have gone into tech, maybe, who knows? I know I did engineering, it wasn't so far removed. But I love your story, and I love the fact that, you know, you talk about bumps in the road, and you talk about, you know, life changes, and as you mature, and as you know, you've celebrated success, and you know, you've got all these amazing anecdotes and situations and testimonies that I guess have honed you into this very empathetic life coach now and health coach, which you've now obviously qualified in. So good for you for following your dreams. I think it's just remarkable. And we got to know each other through mental health and recruitment with Rhonda. I think that's how, kind of how we became much more aware of each other.
Yes.
And I'm going to throw something out here that I think when it kind of became very prominent, I became one of the first champions, which I've, you know, dedicated myself to. You know, we were all talking about mental health because everybody was stuck at home. Everybody was thrown into this pandemic globally. You know, nobody was immune from it. And we now fast forward, it feels like about 40 years later, but it's 4 years later. And it just seems to have been forgotten. And I'm being a bit facetious, as you know, saying that. But I do think it's long forgotten now about people's well-being. What's, from your experience now with where you're sat in the market, what are you observing in terms of our well-being and our mental health as an industry?
I think so much of it depends on whether sort of the founder of the business has had an issue themselves. I think if the founders have been fortunate enough not to have any physical or mental challenges, and this was a bit like what I was like, is that sort of before I started on my health bumps, I hadn't really had anything wrong. So I was a bit oblivious to it all. And then when I met my husband, he's talked quite publicly about his mental health challenges. Suddenly I was like, oh, this isn't just pull your socks up, get over it. So then I learned so much through him and supporting him. But I think that if the founder or the leaders have never had any issues themselves, then it's quite hard for them to understand why they should either invest time or money into supporting people. Irrelevant, like you kind of now go, to win awards, you have to be supporting well-being, to sort of be out there, one of the forefronts, you have to be like supporting it to attract the right people, kind of the younger people today, they care about this stuff. But the recruitment world is tough at the moment. So sort of when you are working out whether you can afford to pay, like to hire your office, I can understand why things that might seem to be non-essential spends go out the window. And that's then where it's going. Firstly, there's a lot of stuff that you can do for free to support your team that will not cost you anything, but will, the ROI is proven. So like go out there, look at the Deloitte report. For every sort of dollar you spend, you get $4 or $5 back. We shouldn't be having to justify it, but I understand when companies are struggling with cash, then it is things that go. But then you'll have the other, I think the leaders who have personally gone on journeys will talk about it very publicly. And there's quite a few business leaders now who are out there sort of talking about it on LinkedIn, talking about it. I was on stage recently with Jamie Fraser from Interrex, and he was talking so much about all the well-being stuff that he does for himself. And then encourages
it. Yeah,
exactly. So there's that. I think it feels a bit like Marmite. Either you love it and you're into it and you really want,
it's a disconnect.
And you're getting your
I think it's like anything. And I think sometimes leaders, and I'm always very empathetic with leaders, because you put yourself out there and, you know, you're growing your business, whether it's accidentally or whether it's purposefully, and you're having to be all these different things. And then the next thing you know, we've got somebody like me and Michelle going, well, you need to share about what happened with you when your wife left you, or that you fought cancer, or you went sober, or, you know, your parents died when you were a kid, or whatever it is.
Yeah.
And that's, I don't think that's quite what we're saying, but I think it's about, to me, we almost need to go right back here and understand what shame is, because I just want to strip people of any shame, and that we should create safe work environments, full stop, because this also leads into diversity and inclusion, which again is another buzzword expression that, you know, became very prominent during COVID, and I think is still seen as a badge of honor. I don't know if it's definitely inherent, but I think all these things are so wedded together, where if you're a leader listening now and you still dismiss why these things that we're talking about now today are important, it's because it's not just about the young people talking about it. I think even people of my age, I think it really matters. I'm perimenopause, still officially peri, not meno. Desperate for meno, but still just peri. And it does affect your mental health. And therefore, it will affect the mental health. If I was with a partner that was working in recruitment, trust me, he or she would be getting it. You know, the poor sleep, the night sweats, the anxiety, which, you know, I do manage with that HRT and everything and all those other things. But the point is, this isn't about an age discrimination. This could be anybody, any point in time. Yeah. And I always feel a bit sorry. That sounds really patronizing, but I feel a bit sorry for leaders that feel that they can't share their real life journeys because they feel it makes them look weaker. I think it's the opposite.
Yeah, absolutely. And I've been in where I've been running sort of group sessions and the leaders have been sat at the front and really sharing. And you're like, which leaders have got the most loyal teams? Those ones. Whereas the ones that kind of go, off you all go, you're all going to go and listen to Michelle talk about stress management. I'm just going to be over in a different room because it doesn't impact me. And you're like, it does. It impacts all of us, from your ability to sleep, to think clearly, to solve problems. And you're just, it's still really fascinating to see that difference of the people just go, no, it's not a thing. And you're like, okay, that's fine. There's sort of a lot of recruitment businesses out there that do think it's a thing, that if people want to work for those sorts of businesses, they can go and hunt them out.
Well, they can go and hunt them out. And I think that if you think about your favourite film or a book that's really resonated, where you've had one protagonist who's had a really inspiring journey that they've gone on, you know, maybe they've fallen off a cliff and survived, or they've, you know, think about survival stories or whatever. They're the ones that you remember. They're the ones that you think, gosh, you know, in the darkest hour, they managed to still survive. And I think some of the best leaders out there are the ones that have shared their stories, whether it's externally on LinkedIn. I don't think I'm talking about that. I'm talking internally, where it's, you know, when we've gone through what has been a very challenging 18 months, if we position it next to the juxtaposition of 2022 and 2021, which was this bounce, like unbelievable bounce, that leaders are probably shell-shocked that they overspent. They spent all the money on all the subscriptions of all the AI and all the technology and all these offices and, you know, all these tech and hiring in loads of people because we didn't hire in 2020. And then the next thing you know, we're in a recession and there's a cost of living crisis and all these things. And these leaders must be sat there and then they go, no, everything's fine.
Yeah.
And I just want that one leader to stop there and go, actually, do you know what? It's okay. To show that things are, we can see you, we see you, and this is a safe space for you. So I think that's partly why I wanted to record this with you today, for them, that one leader to go, I feel seen.
Yeah, absolutely. And that sort of authenticity and vulnerability is going to allow the team to realize that they can also share, so that if they've got something going on, they're going to chat to you instead of just quitting or sitting there not performing, which doesn't benefit anybody.
That's a very nice segue. It's almost like we've prepared for this. Do you know, I mean, you might not know this, but do you know what does it cost, whether it's our industry or the economy, every year in terms of people taking time out because of well-being compromises, whether it's mental health, physical challenges that could have been avoided, i.e. stress related? Do we know what the actual impact is?
There's so many different numbers out there. Like if you just look at menopause alone, they're talking 14 million working days a year. Whether that is sort of, again, there's lots of different data out there, but I remember talking to one technical consultancy, not a recruitment business, but a tech company, and their people were out on day rate. So for all you recruitment businesses that are also doing consulting, think about this. And it wasn't that big a consultancy on loss of working days. So if someone's off sick, they're not earning their day rate, 2 million a year. So even if you don't care about your team, maybe if you care about your contractor, your associates, whatever you call them, every time they're off sick. So maybe there needs to be some way that you're looking even to support them, because that's fundamentally money in your pocket. It's just, the numbers are crazy. And then we have to look obviously at the really sad extremities of the high rates of suicide, and sort of having seen it this weekend, sadly, with the golfer. And you're like, yes, this is money, and fundamentally you're all running businesses, absolutely get that, but we have to look at the bigger picture that's going on here, and stop calling it fluffy. It's not fluffy. Getting a really good night's sleep isn't fluffy. breathing properly isn't fluffy. Bloody hell. Drinking water, kind of essential to living.
We're showing up. I mean, that's about half a day. I've already drunk my 12 hours worth.
But this is it, isn't it? It's like health isn't fluffy. If you don't have your health, you have nothing. But it's sadly, it's not until you don't have it that you realize that. Because I hit the floor once, literally, got rushed to hospital, did nothing about it for 3 years until I literally hit the floor again. I was right, something now needs to really change. Mm. I was really lucky. I got up both times. So thank goodness that was my situation. But you're like, what are you waiting for? It's a bit like I've started talking about it as personal KPIs. So you know your business KPIs. If you're a recruiter, you know, okay, how many calls do you need to make? How many emails do you need to send? What's your personal KPIs? How many glasses of water do you need to feel hydrated? What's your resting heart rate? What's your quality of sleep like? And everyone's like, oh, I don't know. But I know how many miles to the gallon my car does.
That was ludicrous. Do you know, I think you might need to send me a badge, because for the last umpteen years that I set myself, I don't necessarily call them New Year's resolutions, but I reset my goals every year. I've always had a personal section where it's included things like that. How many steps I'm going to do a day, how much sleep I'm going to have, how many days I'm going to have off. I literally walk around. I said to you, I have this on my desk to make sure it's filled up twice a day. That's not including the gym. So I think that's the kind of talk that recruitment leaders want to hear. It's about creating an acceptable language where it doesn't feel like it's being fluffy, because actually it's ridiculous. And it's made me feel quite emotional that we have to still position it that there's an advantage here to everybody having a place at work to feel safe enough to say, I actually don't feel great today, before they have to get to the point where they're hitting the floor, Michelle. And that includes the leaders, by the way. That isn't just the newbies. I think everybody has to remember that we've all got shit going on all the time. And we're not saying we're going to walk in and go, blur, this happened last night and I had an argument with my friend and this happened and the dog was sick. We're not talking about that. We're saying, if you've got something going on where it is affecting your performance and you do not feel that you are performing to your best, what can we do to support you as a business?
Yeah, absolutely. It's just that psychological safety where someone isn't going to be sort of fired because they've said that they're having a hard time because their relationship is split up. But even down to sort of companies providing, like, I'm a massive advocate of vitality. I think that if I give this up, I'm going to go and work for them, because you get free stuff. Like every week I have to get my maximum 40 points. I will not fail it. And you get it through exercise. And for that, I get cinema tickets, free cups of tea, cheaper holidays, but also my business that pays for it gets money back. So even like if you're already paying for vitality, get all your staff using it, you'll get money back.
It's just we've been with vitality for years. It's an absolutely brilliant. I know Shannon won't mind me saying, because she produces this podcast. It's been a lifesaver for her with her back. So no, I'm a huge advocate of that, definitely. Well, look, what we want to do with this episode today, and thank you for sharing everything that you have, is we're not trying to demonize people that maybe haven't got on the bandwagon yet, if you like. Yep. If you're listening to this today and for the first time you're thinking, actually, I'm feeling compromised, whether they're a leader or a recruiter, what can somebody do right now to just, I guess, safety check themselves to make sure that they are not in a dangerous position, that they're not on the precipice of, I could go to burnout here?
Yeah, and that's an interesting question as to, like, stress is a good thing, because stress gives the adrenaline to keep us going. It gives us that fight. Right, here we go. We're going to go and achieve.
Yeah.
It's that tipping point. And it's when you start noticing that you go from caring too much to not caring. It's like you go from physically feeling exhausted to mentally sort of almost just having no emotions.
Yeah.
And that very form, it's like the same as the performance peak that you kind of go through, is how do you get right to that cherry sort of the top where you're achieving really well, but you're not going over that. And that, so it doesn't have to be about working less hours. That could be about when you're in bed, sort of putting the phone away instead of scrolling on TikTok. But it's checking in with yourself. And almost like a bit of a body check. How do I feel? How do I feel mentally, physically, emotionally? And I've got a little life audit tool on my website, which is kind of for doing this, which is, here's 20 parts of your life. How are you doing? Oh, well done. You're doing really well in all of them. Great. Keep it going. Oh, hang on. I actually haven't got any mates. I feel really lonely. That means that that's impacting my mental health. how do I go and find some friends? So I think sometimes just that pause for a minute every morning to go, okay, oh, where's the energy? Oh, I feel good. Right. Off I go. Well, I'm struggling a bit. Right. Okay. Go and get some fresh air, walk around the block, whatever it is that sort of helps you feel a bit better to start your day off so that you're more likely to succeed.
Yeah, no, definitely. And I think I actually think the start of the day is a really good time to do it, because that's in theory when we should be feeling our best, because we've just had, in theory, a good night's sleep. But actually, yeah. You know, joking aside, I do think it's, you know, just to meditate, even if it's when you go and make your cup of tea, make that a ritual. You know, yeah. Don't have your phone with you. Please leave your phones just there for, even if it's for 5 minutes, that yeah. email, that social media post will wait. Just go and do something mindfully, even if it's having a shower, stroking your dog, you know, giving your kids a cuddle and kiss, whatever it is, just do something where it's centering yourself. I think that's actually such an amazing life hack. I do it now with ceremonial cacao.
Oh, lovely.
And I have to concentrate. I have to go short with my nails because I buy the one that you chop, breathe, pray, cacao. And I have to chop it, and my nails were too long to chop it. But you have to, and you're like stirring it, and you're adding your oat milk and your honey and the smell. And it takes about, you know, it takes about 5 minutes from start to finish. But perfect. No phone. And I'm just, and then I'm that, and it's just like this whole warmth going through my body. And that is the most beautiful start to the day. And it doesn't have to be ceremonial cacao. You could do that with a green tea, a hot yep. water and lemon. Just give yourself that peace in the morning to say, how do I feel? How do I feel today?
Yeah, literally.
You know, if you've not slept great, you know you're going to need to energize yourself in different ways.
Yeah. When you pick your phone up, it is the equivalent of inviting 100 people into your bedroom. Do you want the weather person that's going to go, oh, it's going to be shit out there today, it's raining? Then you've got the social media influencer that's like, oh, look how thin I am. And now you just feel terrible about yourself. Through to client, the client we don't want to offer, or we're withdrawing the candidate that's saying, no, I'm moving to Australia. Yeah. And that's before you've actually even got out of bed.
I know.
Leave the phone, get an alarm clock, get a Lumi light. I love those.
Oh, yes. That I've got. They're brilliant.
So good.
Can I just say they're great for putting your makeup on? they are brutal, but they're brilliant. But you know, they're fantastic. And as somebody who, I'm very annoying, I wake up at this time of year, we're recording this in May, I do just wake up at sunrise. I'm just, even though I've got two blinds, it's totally blacked out, I just know click and that's fine. But I think for those who really struggle to wake up naturally, or who don't jump out of bed, I am just Duracell bunny. I've always just jumped, I'm a morning person. But I think it's really important to start your day right. And this isn't about, you know, popping a pill going everything else isn't going to matter, but this is at least setting your stall out, I think, which for leaders especially, we know it's going to be brutal the minute you set foot in the office, proverbially or reality wise. And in terms of, you know, that I think what we've described and what we're both saying is that our industry, the recruitment industry, is fast paced. It's stress is a great thing in our industry because it's what makes us successful. We think on our feet, we're creative. It's clearly why you were very successful. 7 to 10 deals a month, that's amazing. But actually, what can we do? What measures can leaders take today to ensure that they are ring fencing the well-being of their people? Just like, even if it's just one thing that they can do today to ensure, I've listened to this podcast and I'm going to do this one thing today to protect my people's well-being.
Don't have lunch at your desk. If you sit wow. at your desk, everyone else is going to feel like they've got to have lunch at the desk. So just that one act of stepping away, and maybe you've got a communal area, you all sit together, lovely. Doesn't have to be leaving the building, but just that, putting that break in to allow people to just decompress. All the brain sort of science shows that you put breaks in the day and your brain works better. That one thing. And then you go, leaders leading from the front. If you're a leader that likes exercise, great. Let people know about it. Give them time in the day to exercise. Maybe give them a slightly longer lunch break to get to the gym, get showered, get back. If you're a leader that knows a lot about food, okay, show them. Look what I've got today here. Have you thought about maybe instead of having like crap cereal in the office, you could have some porridge oats or some fruit or sort of some natural yogurt? Like, those little things where you can lead, but even things, how late are you messaging your people? How, like, you've all got WhatsApp groups now and you get it, oh, I've just had a message from my boss 10 o'clock at night. And like back when we started, I had no mobile phone when I started in recruitment.
No, neither did I.
I didn't have a laptop.
You had a landline.
Exactly. I loved it. But so you left the office and you were done. Like, I don't remember in the 8 years at Futures, apart from to organise a social on a weekend, my boss ever contacting me. Like, we worked long hours in the day. We worked intensely in the day. And then we went drank too much.
You're right. Yeah, yeah.
Whereas now, like, people...
No, 24/7.
Like, put it on...
Oh, my God.
You can sit it in drafts and then you can send it out the next morning and then people can, yes, check their emails on the train.
Oh my God, those two things. I mean, first of all, the lunch at the desk thing. I am telling you now, there'll be a significant number of listeners nodding their heads, knowing they're guilty of it. And that is so simple to enforce. Just stop it. Stop it today. And even if it's encouraging people to go for a walk at lunchtime, or like Michelle said, make it a communal thing. If you've got an office where there's an office, a kitchen or a restaurant area, go make them food, you know, encourage them to break away. And I'm here for the neuroscience. We are all more productive when we've had fresh air and a break in the day, you know, without a shadow of a doubt. I've always been a huge believer in walking during the day, even if it's just to have a conversation on the phone with somebody. And then the second thing, I hate that whole sort of game of, oh, look how late I'm sending this. And if it's you as the leader doing it, you are the biggest culprit of all. There's no reason for it. And the problem is you can't advocate for whether somebody has got their phone on silent, because you could say, well, your phone should be on do not disturb. It's like, you shouldn't be sending a message at 10 o'clock at night. Yeah. You know, like you say, save it in your notes on your phone, and then 8 o'clock in the morning, then it's fine to send it. I think those two things are actually so simple, but really are going to have a big impact on a lot of people because it's easy to do. So let's say it's the recruiters listening. We've got a lot of early careers recruiters listening, Michelle, because I get messages off a lot of them, and some of them contact me, and it's always so lovely because they're trying to learn it all and they want to know all the best advice. They want to be the best recruiters they can be. I'm not going to start giving hypotheticals, you know, what if they're in this situation, but what would you say? Because they're likely demographically to be young people, so they've grown up with ease.
Yep.
What can they do to protect their own well-being?
Put the phone in a different room. If it's in your room, you're going to pick it up. We all do it. I'm as guilty as... So give yourself that. And that's hard because my boss is messaging me, so I should always be available at giving you that space. But also taking aside, sometimes you're going to have to respond to a work message, fine. But what you don't have to be doing is scrolling through TikTok for 2 hours that you could have been getting some sleep. So it's those tiny little habits that you can change, making some smarter choices to be able to then cope with the pressures of being in recruitment in these days. Like the new people that have started in the last 18 months, you are joining at the most difficult time I've probably ever seen in my 25 plus years.
I was going to say, you've done as many years as me. I say that from a desk point of view, this year is as hard as 2009 ever was. But the difference is it's more congested, more competitive. LinkedIn wasn't a thing in 2009. So it's actually harder now to like combat what we've just gone through, because there's news everywhere, there's information everywhere. Whereas in 2009, we actually were clueless. We didn't know what happened with Lehman Brothers. Like, what happened in America?
Yeah.
So I agree with you totally. Can I just add one thing that actually my boyfriend, who will never listen to this, he has taught me. He does like the Pomodoro effect on social media effectively. So he allows himself 20 minutes every night to just go for it on TikTok, on Instagram Reels. He's like that ping, 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 ping. And his timer goes off and he puts his phone down and he's done for the day. And he doesn't feel like he's wasted hours scrolling. He doesn't feel like he's lost his whole evening. He still sent me probably all the best ones because his algorithm will have sent the best ones first. And I would just think if everybody lived like that, we're all just going to get back a little something. And
there's much better things that you could be doing in bed before you go to sleep.
I agree. Read.
Read. Breathe. Whatever.
Read. Don't lose that skill. And I don't mean read on one of these. I mean, get an actual book. And I think, again, it's one of my personal KPIs. I read a chapter a night, minimum, even if I'm like, because I am the 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning, but I will still read a chapter every night, whether it's fiction, whether it's you know, a historical book or a food book, whatever it is, a recipe book, doesn't matter, read a chapter a night, because that's the last thing you'll do then. And then you will, I promise you, your quality of sleep will be so much better.
Yeah,
that's a really good bit of advice.
At home we practice, and it sounds fluffy, but there's, again, the science, is that we do gratitude, because your thoughts create your feelings, determine your actions. So if the last thought I have is, oh, I'm grateful today for the fact that it didn't rain, I'm grateful today that I got to chat to you, I'm going to feel nice, I'm going to feel content, I'm going to feel happy. The action is, I'm going to get a much better night's sleep. So again, these are all simple things. This isn't big, expensive, like gadgets or sort of life changes. Read a couple of pages of book, do a few sort of gentle breathing exercises, say some nice things about your day, you are likely to get a better
sleep. To yourself. I just want to say that I am not a fluffy hippie. I am not into, you know, promoting anything that hasn't got substance and science behind it.
Yeah.
But when I found gratitude, which was around, it all collided with my marriage, second marriage breaking up. So my husband coming out as gay, and then my sobriety all collided at the same time. I practice gratitude at least once a day, by the way. And let me tell you, as I hit the grand old age of 50 recently, that if you truly want to know what joy and contentment actually feels like, it is gratitude practice. And the reason that people say you have to practice gratitude is because it takes time to not feel stupid saying it, or not feel like, oh, I'm not going to get anything from it. But I will literally say, today I'm really grateful for the coffee that I had. Today I'm really grateful that the technology lasted on the Zooms for when I did my pod. It could be the little things, or it could be, I'm just so grateful I've got such a gorgeous two daughters who bought me the most beautiful gift that was so generous. They saved up for months to spend all this, you know, thoughtful ideas on me. It could be something really big, and this you can literally feel your heart swelling.
Yeah.
You can literally, it's a physical reaction, and all the neuroscience now backs it up that actually practicing gratitude will give you longer life. It will give you longevity.
Yeah. And everything that I coach people on, whether it's one-to-one or whether it's in the workshops that I run, it's all based on science. It's like the little phrase, and I have, let's say, borrowed it from my husband, is it's not woo-woo, it's all science. And he's got a
It's not woo-woo, it's all science. Does it say that?
Yeah, because he's a breathwork instructor. And people are like, oh, this breathing. And you're like, let's talk about the science. And then suddenly they're like, oh. So all of these things that we talk about that previously were seen to be woo-woo, it's all proven. The science is there. And just listen to sort of Huberman Labs podcasts. You will hear
amazing
everything, but it's all there.
Actually, it's on. By the time this goes out, it won't be recent, but Stephen Bartlett's recent guest, the neuroscientist, she's like the top neuroscientist in the world. She talks in no jargon. It's very reachable, even if you're not a huge podcast like neuroscience fan, but it's unbelievable. And it's all about the link between exercise in your brain and caffeine in your brain and alcohol and sleep. She talks a lot about sleep, all the things you've been talking about, and it's all the science is there now.
Yeah.
So we're not just talking woo-woo. I like that. That might be the name of the podcast. Before we go, I just want to talk about mental health and recruitment. What, if people want to know more, if they want to understand how their business can benefit, or if their company should be doing something more with mental health and recruitment, what's going on at the moment with mental health and recruitment?
So there's lots of stuff going on. We're always kind of pivoting to sort of follow what it is that people actually need. So as their sort of resident sort of healthy living coach, that's about if you want to be doing some webinars with your team, if you want to understand one-to-one how to support people, there's kind of the pledge where you're actually putting your hand up and saying, I'm committing to doing this. This isn't just something that I do for 1 week a year because, well done, it's Mental Health Awareness Week. No, this is something where you are pledging to supporting your people. And Rhonda has put together so much amazing information that sort of she can provide to people. And then you've got Kate, who does the mental health first aid training. So reach out to myself, reach out to Rhonda. And because often that's the thing is, I want to do something, but where do I start? Or, oh, I'm really worried about a person in my team. What do I do? Just do something. Like I often get the emergency call, Michelle, this has just happened. I don't know what to do. Right. Let me speak to the person. Let me see what I can do. And if I'm the right person, I'll carry on. If I'm not, then maybe they need a therapist or a doctor. We then make sure that they're going to
you can signpost them.
Exactly.
I just want to say on that, if if there is to be a starting point for any recruiter, I genuinely think that the mental health first aid course should be mandatory.
Yeah.
I did it with Kate, who I used to work with. So huge shout out to Kate Haywood, who is a living legend herself. I will definitely tag her in this post. Shannon and I did the course in 2021, I think it was. And it is a time commitment. But let me tell you, even at that point, I've done 20 odd years in recruitment. I've been in recruitment since the 90s. The way it honed my listening skills and my non-judgmental capability, it has changed me forever. And I tell everybody that, because to go through that level of training and how to understand what another person is going through will, apart from anything else, just make you a better recruiter. But interestingly, I've not actually needed to use it in a work context, but I have used it. I've used that training so many times in my personal life with family and friends. It will never leave you. And so if there's one action you take today, please go and investigate mental health and recruitment page, follow Michelle, and she will connect you if you can't find Kate, and go and do the course, because every business should have at least one mental health first aider, at least. And I think every leader should mandatorily, is that my word? Is that how you say it? It should be mandatory.
Yes.
To do the course.
Yeah, there was a great quote. There's a book by a chap called Matt Haig, and he's a fiction writer, but he wrote this book about his own challenges with his mental health, and it's called Reasons to Stay Alive. And my husband got me to read it. It's a little thin book, and it was my eye opener. And one of the things he said is trying to explain mental health to someone who hasn't struggled is like trying to explain Earth to an alien. And he talked about days where his head literally felt like it was on fire. And that was just this like awareness of what people are going through. And this isn't to sort of, this is how we support those people in the right ways, not to, people worry, but recruitment is stressful. Should we not talk about it? Because let's pretend that it's not. And you're like, it is. And that's fine, because you've got an opportunity to make loads of money. But you support the people if you're the leaders, you support yourself if you're the leader, or if you're the recruiters, you do the little changes. All of those things are basically, it's like when your cup is here, you can cope. When your cup is up here, one little thing, like you burn the toast or you miss the train, you're going to lose your shit.
You're going to lose it. Yeah.
What we're doing is we're putting a hole in the bottom of the glass and letting the stresses run out with all of the self-care things that we're doing. And we're talking minutes here and there. We're not talking 5 hours. We're talking
Good. Perfect way to finish. If you weren't watching that on YouTube and you're listening, Michelle was holding up a glass, but it's the colander analogy, isn't it? It's allowing, making sure you've got an outlet to get rid, because I agree with you that there's good stress and bad stress. And if you are listening to this and you are in recruitment and you enjoy the thrill of it, it won't be that will potentially send you down of, you know, being unwell. This isn't about that. This could be, it's like to do something in your personal life, let's be honest. That's the reality.
Yeah.
So I hope we've made this feel like it's a safe subject to talk about. It's a safe space for people to, you know, want to learn more. They can reach out to you. And, you know, mental health and recruitment is something that I've been very proud to be part of right from the start. And I wear my champion hat very proudly, because I just want to lose all the shame and stigma attached to what makes us human. It's as simple as that. So thank you so much for joining us, Michelle, on the Recruiters Recruitment Podcast.
You are welcome. My pleasure.
We are thrilled to welcome to the Recruiters Recruitment Podcast a new partner in Keybridge IT. Keybridge provide 24/7 support to all of their customers. Established in 2010, Keybridge IT Solutions is a London-based, fully managed IT support and solutions provider. And for recruiters like me, we all need the IT expert to sort our problems out, whether it's with Microsoft Cloud, Microsoft 365, internet connectivity, security, Microsoft Azure. I mean, all these words actually mean nothing to me. What about you? But so much more than that. They work across many industries, not just recruitment, but if you're listening from the world of leisure or charity or finance or even marketing, they will be able to help. So click on the link in the podcast show and get to know Keybridge IT.
We are so proud to be partners of Needy, the gifting revolution. Here at Key Recruitment, we absolutely love to send out bespoke gifts to our new place candidates to welcome them in their new jobs. but also as an extra special thank you to clients or when a team is celebrating something really special. But to be honest, we were really fed up with dull or mediocre gifts that you could just buy on the high street that didn't really reflect who we are at Key Recruitment as a business. This is why we chose Needy. Needy source sustainably from the UK's best independent businesses, offering the most perfect array of bespoke gifts and experiences too. So no more boring bottles of plonk or rubbish boxes of chocolates. This is how you make your customers' day with a gift that really matters and shows that you really want to do something special for them. For more information on how psychology and AI forming to make the best gift experience for you, click on the link and remember to mention the Recruiters Recruitment Podcast when ordering. The Recruiters Recruitment Podcast is thrilled to be partnering with Inclusion Crowd. Inclusion Crowd put the D into diversity, but do it disruptively. We love that. Really reflecting what we're about. I was introduced to Inclusion Crowd back in 2020, and I've been absolutely blown away with what they're doing to totally transform the recruitment and hiring sector. They believe at Inclusion Crowd that companies should be reflective of society, and that no matter who you are listening now, you have a story to tell. You have a contribution to make. An Inclusion Crowd educates you in allowing your voice to come out and share that story, but doing it in a way that educates your colleagues and your customers equally. Inclusion Crowd, like the Recruiters Recruitment Podcast, has clients all over the world, and they specialize in our industry. What we all want to do together is to maintain best practice and to raise industry standards to enable us to attract and retain the best talent, but doing so inclusively and with true diversity. By doing this, by accomplishing a true EDI policy within your business, you will also retain the top talent as well as attract new talent, which is a win-win for everybody listening, making more profitable business and a much better industry, highly regarded. Inclusion Crowd are also the official awarding body for the Inclusion and Diversity Certification Mark within recruitment. We are so proud to be assisting and partnering Inclusion Crowd. If you want to know more information, please click on the link in this episode and remember to mention the Recruiters Recruitment Podcast when you do so. Now, back to the episode.